Can we go?
Mo Music at ibomblog.com.
I'm trying to get through this. Can we, Mashamandalahoyas? I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm supposed to be speaking in tongues so openly. I'm not from the new school, y'all. I'm not that slick down commercial preacher. I was born again speaking in tongues, and I speak in tongues now. As the Spirit gives utterance. Well, it's not necessary, you know, I don't understand, because, you know, that was history, and it's not a present activity in the theological circles today. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. And just because time changed, he doesn't change today. And if we live a little longer, he'll be the same forever. Hello. And I don't have any apologies of who I am. I learned that I can stand up boldly and declare that I am, as the old folks said, Pastor, saved, sanctified. Wait. Let me stop at sanctified. Sanctified means that I'm no longer like the world. It means that he has separated me and set me in a specific position called holiness. Hallelujah. And graced me. See, sanctification is not something that I can really do myself. I've got to be graced for this, because I don't have enough power in and of myself not to handle, not to touch, not to go there, not to do this, not to think this, not to yield, not to bend, not to fall. I don't have that power. But when God brings you into sanctification, he gives you something called grace. Somebody holler grace. Now, grace is not just the trite definition that we've given it. We've given grace such a small definition. We've said grace is the unmerited favor of God. And that's nice. And it is. But it goes further, much further. It's much deeper than just favor I don't deserve. When we speak of grace, it speaks of the Greek word charis. And that's where we get our word charisma. Hallelujah. So when God graces me, he gives me the charisma. He gives me the supernatural ability to do what I cannot do in the natural. It's grace that keeps me from sin. I can't keep myself from sin. It's grace that gives me the supernatural ability to look at what I always fell to and walk away from it. I don't hear anybody here. So I find that I'm now one of the old folk. I found out that I am no longer young. I talk like old people. I act like old, I feel like old people. And I don't have any qualms in telling you I am saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. And in the Kojic church I came from, they'd say, and do speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. How many of you are proud to be born again with no shame to it? I don't hear anybody with no shame to it. Hallelujah. Okay, sit down. I only got a little bit of time, and I want to make sure that I get to this message. Thank you for enduring me. I want to talk about now. Everybody say now. I want to talk about now. In the book of, and I'm going to apologize again, as I do every time I come here, to all of the theologians in the room, I failed homiletics. And so you're going to get this as I get it. It is not going to have an introduction, a body, and a conclusion. I'm going to start at the body, go to the conclusion, and end with the introduction. So thanks a lot. And for those of you from the Pentecostal church, you're not going to hear out of me tonight at all. I'm just covering all my bases right now. When I'm finished, and you say, well, is he going to preach? He did. But in the book of Isaiah, I keep telling you, I love the book of Isaiah. I love the book of Isaiah. I love Isaiah. I think I told you the last time I was here, I love Isaiah because it is so dynamic. It is a prophetic book like no other book of prophecy. It is like no other prophet's book at all. Isaiah is considered the fifth gospel. The fifth gospel because it talks about Jesus like Isaiah knew him. Isaiah speaks in terms that depict him being so keen at the prophetic that he could tell us where Jesus was going to be born. He could tell us that he'd be born of a virgin. He talked about his life, his growing up. He talked about how he would die, how he would go from judgment hall to judgment hall. Talked about how he'd be whipped with lashes. And it spoke in the present tense when it spoke about Jesus. It spoke in the present tense. He did not foretell as though it were futuristic. He would speak as though he were in that time himself. He didn't say there shall be. He said, for unto us is born. Y'all don't hear me. For unto us a child is born. And unto us a son is. He didn't say shall be. He said is. And whenever he speaks prophetically, he speaks like it's now. He said, for he was, and that was even passive. He talked like it already happened. He was wounded for our transgression, like the deed had already taken place. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, present tense, we are. This is some 600 to 700 years before the incarnation. But Isaiah speaks of stripes that would cause healing. Hallelujah. With his stripes, we are healed. God has always wanted us to pay attention to our now. But something has happened in the Christian body where we have become we've taken on escapism. We want to escape from the now and get to the then. We want to bypass the cycle of today and get to tomorrow. Hallelujah. And God wants us to deal with our... I don't hear you. God wants us to deal with our now. So in the book of Isaiah 43, I want to go to the 18th verse. It says, remember ye not the former things. Don't remember the former things, nor don't consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, but now shall it spring forth. Somebody say, right now. Now shall it spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way. I will even make a way during a government shutdown. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I'm about to cry. I will even make a way through an economic debacle. I will make a way in your period where the bottom falls out, where politics fail, where government can't govern. I will make a way when employment dries up. I will make a way when your body becomes sick. I will make a way. Now it shall spring forth. Now. Somebody lay your hand on your chest and say, now. Now it shall spring forth. I will make a way. Now I will make a way in the desert, in the wilderness. And now I will bring rivers and water and refreshment. And I will soak your deserts. And then in the theme, I will drench your deserts. Some of you are sitting in a dry place, but understand this. You are at the right place at the right time. Because there's nothing better in the middle of a desert than an oasis. And you are about to be a living oasis right where, somebody say, right where I am. Somebody say, right where I am. Now, God wants to show you. Now, let me explain something to you. We have become what word do I want to use? We have been so conditioned to what is to come that we never get there. We have been promised so much, and we have been told to have faith, and we have held on and believed. But it seems like we're just the gerbil in that little runaround. We're making motion, but we're not going anywhere. And out of all the faith that we have, we're still believing for tomorrow. All of our faith is directed into tomorrow. Grab it, pull it down. It's coming. But the question is, when will it get here? You're on your way. But when will I arrive? Keep believing, keep holding on, but for how long? We have to get our mindset into the Word of God. Faith is supposed to keep you confident while you go through your journey. But you're supposed to be on the journey. You don't stand still in faith and wait for things to happen. Y'all don't hear me. Faith never causes you to stand still to wait for things to arrive. But faith is the motivation that gets you to go to where it is. Oh, God, help me. Help me, Jesus. Faith is not to keep you stagnant, to keep you in one place. But faith is the thing that gives you confidence. If we went to Hebrews and read the faith scripture, Hebrews 11, you know what it says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Yeah, now, like I said before, you can quote that scripture and never know what it means. And in the religious world, we figure if we can quote scriptures, that's good enough. It's not good enough. Because you can quote something all day long, and if you have no meaning of it, you can never get the benefit of it. And that's the problem. In growing up in church, we did memory verses to remember the scripture, but we never got into the context of it and how to practically apply this thing. So although we're mouthing something out of our mouths, it's not coming from out of our hearts. Hallelujah. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word faith comes from the Greek word pistis. Pistis simply means to have the unconditional, total, and absolute belief in God and His Word. So when you really define Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, now having total and complete belief in God and His Word will bring about the substance of the things that I am expecting. Hope is not just, oh, I'm tiptoeing. Ooh, I hope. That's our American version. But the real interpretation of hope is expecting something. Without any equivocation, I expect this to happen. So if faith or the uncompromised, total and complete belief in God and His Word brings about the substance of the things that I am totally expecting because God said it, then I move as God told me to move, knowing that my journey is going to bring me to what God has said. And it is the evidence, my total and complete belief in God and his word will bring me to the evidence of what I cannot see. Now, don't get me wrong. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Faith is not believing in something that's not there. That's called fantasy. And we got that in church too much. We got people that are holding on to fantasy thinking that this is God said it when it was just a bad meal. It was a bad meal. It was something that happened while you were sleeping. And you can't attribute everything that you feel and hear to God. The only thing that you can absolutely stand on is the word of God. And whatever you receive in a vision or a dream or through somebody whispering in your ear, you got to take it right back to this word. Because if it doesn't match up with this word, it is not God. I don't care what other people teach. Well, you know, everything that is happened, everything that God wants is not in the Bible. The Bible is not a complete book. It is a complete book. You will find no other word. You can search through any other religion. There is no other word greater than this Bible. This Bible is not a work in progress. It is finished. You don't hear me. Some theologians go mad. Much learning makes some theologians mad, where they sit back and say, well, you know, the Bible is kind of tampered with, and the Bible can't be taken literally. And some preachers that once had it have let go of it to be a part of today's theological society. But you got to keep your mind. You got to keep your mind. Although things sound good, you got to keep your mind on what God has said, because it will never change. It will never change. And no matter what you hear, you better be careful of parking lot prophets. Your parking lot prophets, bathroom prophets, telephone prophets, anything that brings a word to you outside of the truth and outside of your covering. Because parking lot prophets and bathroom prophets and telephone prophets, they don't like to work where they can be seen. They don't like to work where they can be seen. They want to pull you to the side and say, you know, the Lord gave me a word for you. And what you need to do is say, oh, did he? Yeah, God gave me a word. Hold on, come here. Where are we going? To the pastor? We go to... Say it in front of the elders. Say it in front of one of the elders here. Give me your word in front of somebody, and don't be afraid. Don't carry me in the bathroom another time. Don't call me up. Don't pull me to the side. The word is strong enough it can be heard by everybody else. Don't stop letting people fool you. Everything has got to go according to the word. To the word. Faith does not work outside of the word, because faith only comes by the word. The only way I can believe and hold on to something is it's got to be in the word. I don't hear anybody here. And so my faith is supposed to bring on manifestation. Things are supposed to happen by my faith. Hallelujah. And if my faith is always futuristic, then I never have any now faith. And the problem with that is, as we see in church, everybody wants the next thing. Everybody wants what's next. The next prophecy. The next great preacher. The next great singer. Everybody wants the next. And we throw away the now to get something else, when we haven't done anything with our now. It is not about what's next. It's about what is now. And until you deal with your now, you can never be prepared for what's... Let me bring it down so some of the young people can understand. See, when I was growing up, and they put a plate in front of you, you always wanted what was next, because what was next was more palatable than what was now. The dessert was always next. And we've got that mentality in church. We want the dessert. We want the good things. We want our prophecies to be sweet and powerful and profitable, but we don't want the process. Y'all don't hear me. The prophecy is for next. Hallelujah. But I got to get my now together. I couldn't get the dessert until I finished what was on my plate. I'm trying to make this as fundamental as possible. I couldn't get the dessert that I wanted that was promised to me. But the promise was predicated on whether I finished what was on my plate. And what was on my plate didn't taste that good. It may not have tasted good to me, but it was good. I hope I'm getting through to somebody. It may not be good to me, but it's surely good for me. And my mom and dad just tried to teach me that if you follow me, I will make sure that you grow whole and balanced. But you've got to take first things first so that you can be complete and whole. The reason why we want to get to next instead of dealing with now is because some of our nows. I'm talking to some of us in this room. Some of our nows deal with things from our then. Some things from back then we've drug into our now. We've drug past feelings and past attachments, past dependencies, and past mentalities. And the struggle was hard getting to here because you were pulling so much weight from there because you didn't know how to let it go. And with your poker face, with your mask, with your religious mask, everything's fine, everything's fine. Glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Eka Messiah. And we say all the holy words, but they're just to mask what we're dealing with in our now. Because we find it hard to tell people that today is a hellish day for me. So I want to escape and go to tomorrow because today I'm still living in fear. Because today I'm still carrying the hurt. Because today I still buried that bitterness. Because today I'm still struggling. Because today I still got my lust. Because today I still feel abandoned. Today I still deal with insecurity. I don't want to deal with the now because it hurts too much. I don't want to deal with the now because it reminds me of too much. Can I just leave this here? Can I just leave this here? Can I just go to where you are next? But God says, no, you don't understand. You can't follow me into next carrying what you carry now. No, hear me, because I'm about to cry and I can't stand crying. But you can't follow me to where I'm taking you. It's too great where I'm taking you. Where I'm taking you is higher. It's more lofty. Where I'm taking you is so much greater. And you can't come into your tomorrow carrying what you're carrying. So I got to deal with what you're dealing with now. Because I don't want to take you into a place of promise for you to abort it all. You to lose it all. If I take you in like this, you'll lose it. So what I've got to do is got to work on your now. I got to teach you how to appreciate now. Got to teach you how to utilize now. I got to teach you how to man up. Got to teach you how to square your shoulders in your now. I got to teach you how to deny and absolutely divorce yourself from your yesterday. I got to teach you how to shake it off in your now. Hallelujah. Because what you're carrying is too much. It's too much. You're not supposed to be held back. You're not supposed to be limited to. You're not supposed to be convicted and condemned by your yesterday. You're supposed to forget the former things. You're supposed to let go of what happened yesterday. Because when I came into your life, I uncoupled. If the Son has made you free, you are free. That means you're not just free in word. See, a lot of us are free in word, but you are free in deed. You are free. There is a deed. There is an emancipation document that declares you can never be bound again by what happened to you on your yesterday. I wish I had some help here. There is a deed. You are free in deed. There's a deed that has been written and signed by blood on a cross called Calvary. I wish I had believers here that on the cross, He emancipated every one of us. And our yesterday is past. Somebody say, my past is past. So, you see, sit down and let me finish. So you hear Jesus speaking to the people he preached to. And he said, listen, you got too much on your shoulders. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to be in key yet. Really, because I don't want to get sensational and you miss this. Jesus said, you've got too much on your shoulders. While I'm standing here with you, you're carrying too much to be with me. So come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now listen, you cannot be heavy laden without having it being put upon you by your past. Everything that weighs heavy on you accumulated from your past. You can't be weighed down unless it was built up. And you carry so much and add on to it. And every day is another burden. The history of your family is another burden. And your lineage is another burden. And your financial situation is another burden. And your sickness is another burden. And your children are another burden. And you're walking with Jesus hunched over. You're walking with Jesus overcome. And Jesus says, wait a minute. All of you that are heavy laden, let me take that off of you. Because what I've got for you today, you can't handle holding yesterday. So listen, why don't we make an exchange here? Take my yoke upon you and learn about who I am. Let's exchange burdens. Let's change baggage, and let me give you my yoke and learn about who I really am, because I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest today. You will find rest now for your soul. For my yoke won't weigh you down, and my burdens are not heavy at all. Hallelujah. If you read, the Bible says in the book of he said, listen, come here. Every one of you, come here. And I'm going to do something here. I'm going to make a great exchange. I'm going to give you beauty. Now, for your ashes of yesterday. Give me your ashes from yesterday, and I will give you beauty now. Hallelujah. I will give you the oil of joy now for the mourning that happened from yesterday. You didn't just start mourning. The grief has carried you down to a low level. And he said, but now I'm going to give you the oil of joy. Oil is to lubricate you, to refresh you. Hallelujah. Because your mourning dries out your bones. Your grief dries out your bones. It takes away all your joy. But I'll give you the oil of joy for your grief. Hallelujah. For the grief of your yesterday. And I'll give you the garment of praise today in exchange for the spirit of heaviness that you've been carrying from yesterday. If there's anybody in this room that had a yesterday, it's me. If there's anybody in this room that should have been disqualified from yesterday, it is me. If there's anybody in this room that should have thrown in the towel because of yesterday, it is me. And in order to deal with my now, God had to handle and open up in my now, my yesterday. I don't think I'm making sense to you. I really don't think I'm making sense to you. See, in order for God to change the Samaritan woman's now, he had to deal with her yesterday. She didn't want him to go that far. What was supposed to be just a day of getting water away from the rest of the cackling hens that kept messing with her because of her past. Let them go at 6 a.m. while I go at 12 noon. All the women of town, all the women of Samaria come at 6 a.m. to start their day off, to water the gardens and water the animals and water the house. But I got to wait till 12 because of my past. And when I finally get there, there's a man sitting there. He's a Hebrew Jesus. Well, you can't call Jesus. And he won't get off the well. And I can't get no water. And this yoke is on my neck. Because that's how I carry my water, with my yoke. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. She came to Jesus with a yoke. And Jesus sees her with her yoke and says, give me something to drink. She looks at him and says, how be it you being a Jew, ask me who you hate so much, a Samaritan, to give
Mo
you
music
water.
At kibomblog.com.
Whoa, how dare you ask me to give you water when you hate us so much? Jews hate the Samaritans. You call us bastardized. And you just another rabbi from down in Jerusalem. And all y'all are just alike. All of y'all are just, remember I'm saying, all of y'all rabbis are just alike. He says, woman, if you knew I'm not going to do this right now. I feel it coming up in me. If you only knew the gift of God and who it was that was asking you for some water, you'd be asking me for some water. And I'd give it to you right now. And you would never thirst again if you drank my water. And you'd never have to come back to this here. Way. The woman says, well, hold on then, mister. Mr. Rabbi, give me some of that water so I don't have to come back here ever again. Because now she thinks this guy's just playing a game. He says, I'll tell you what. I'll give you some. If you go bring your husband here. He had to deal with her past in order to heal her in her now, to cause her to evangelize in her future. Go get your husband. She looked at him like a good black woman would. And she started the neck thing. She said, I ain't got no husband. Because you sisters know how it is when somebody gets in your business. Somebody that you don't like already, and they get into your business. You's a Jew, and now you're getting in my business. I ain't got no husband. Hold on. And every black woman is jumping up right now. Woo! That's right. Hold on. Hold on. I ain't got no husband. And Jesus says, you speak truth when you say you don't have a husband. Because indeed, you've had five. Hold on, baby. You've had five. And the man that you're shacking with now is number six, and he's not your husband. Now, understand this. Understand the significance of this. This wasn't Jesus just pulling the covers off of her and telling her she was whorish. Because he never says that she was whorish. You don't understand what she was going through. The reason why she didn't want to deal with now is because of how yesterday left her. Because in the Semitic culture, she was divorced five times. But the women couldn't divorce their husband. So that meant five men used her, abused her, and knowingly left her, knowing that if I divorce you, you're not looked at as good to any other man. Not because you did anything wrongly, but because I got tired, because I found some speck in you, because I found out some little fault in you. So I divorce you. Now, there's a stain on her. She's a divorcee. The next man sees a divorced woman, and now he goes and he marries her because he's abusive too. He knows that this woman is broken. So he takes her sexually, and he abuses her. And when he gets tired, he leaves because she can't divorce a man. See, that's why you got to get into the context. So it's not like just Jesus is talking about, you know, you was a hoish woman with five husbands. No, she was a broken woman from her past. And the broken woman couldn't deal with her now. So she tried to escape now by being away from everybody else. And that's what some of us in this room do. We try to escape now by cordoning ourselves off from everybody else. I'm talking to you in this room. Talking to you watching. Jesus is not condemning her. He's speaking to her with compassion. In other words, baby, I understand. I'm not just a rabbi, but I understand the law. I understand that if you divorced 5 times, it wasn't because you divorced them. And if you were guilty of adultery, they would have stoned you. If you were guilty of infidelity, they would have killed you. So it must not have been because of anything you did. I'm talking to some of you in this room. You've had 5 husbands, sweetheart, and they all left you. They all hurt you, and they left you in this situation where you can't deal with now, and you have no hope for tomorrow because your then has followed you into your now. Everybody talks about you. Everybody maligns you. And all you're trying to do is live. No matter how you live, there's a reminder every day. And now I'm with a man who won't even marry me. I'm so used and abused, he won't even marry me. But I'd rather stay with him than be with nobody, because I'm not worth anybody. I have to take this abuse because I'm so dejected. My past has so crippled me, I cannot think about being by myself. The man you're with now, he doesn't love you. He's not your husband. He won't marry you. Then she went spiritual. Wait a minute. You Jews say that you can only worship God down in Jerusalem. While I'm hearing these guys here say, you got to worship me here in the mountains of Samaria. You got to my heart now. Which one is true? Because I'm torn. I don't even know how to live. I can't go down to Jerusalem because they'll kill me. And in Samaria here, they laugh at me and they hate me. Where do we worship? He says, honey, right now you worship what you don't even know. You're so broken, you don't even know what you're worshiping. The hour is coming now, is where you're not going to worship him in Jerusalem nor in Samaria. The hour is going to come where all that past stuff doesn't even matter. The former things don't even matter. The hour has come, and now is where we got to set your now straight. You're not going to worship him there nor there, but you're going to worship him here. And he's going to heal here. For God is spirit. And they that worship him, you got to worship him in spirit and truth. I know I'm boring you because I'm not screaming. You got to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not either or, it's both. You're not just so spiritually overwhelmed, you just speak in tongues all day and not know the scriptures, like so many churches that I know and the churches that I came out of. As long as you spoke in tongues, it wasn't important that you knew the scriptures. Jesus wept. Don't have to know the scriptures, and surely don't know the context of the scriptures. Touch and agree. Don't lay hands on no man suddenly. No context at all. But just speak in tongues and dance. And sing. And some of you don't understand it because you didn't come out of that. You didn't have to preach anything as long as you had the emotions. And God said. See, look at you. See? It's no, really. It's like Pavlov's dog. It's like Pavlov's dog. Whenever they hear the bell, you salivate. So whenever you hear, and God said to me, oh Lord. whenever you hear that, the fans start and the hands go, whoo! And he ain't said nothing. And it doesn't matter that he ain't said nothing, because all you want is the Spirit. I'm trying to tell you. If I hit a certain cadence right now, if I hit a certain chord right now, if I start preaching a certain way right now, people be up and fanning and woo! Because we got the Spirit without the truth. And then on the other side, there's the truth. We're the Word, we're the Word, we're the Word. We're the Word. We are the Word. We don't do nothing. Sit down, be quiet, be still. Blessed quietness. Holy quietness. We are the Word. Hallelujah. Word, the Word. No music. The Word, the Word, the Word. But the Word without the Spirit is dead. I'm taking too long, Pastor. No, I'm taking too long. I'm taking too long. He said, but if you worship me, if you're going to worship God, you got to put together the Spirit and the truth. Hallelujah. You better hear what I'm saying. He dealt with the woman's past. Dealt with the past. And she said, we heard. Now the woman has become alive. She's not shaking her neck anymore. And she's taken the yoke off of her shoulders to hear him. And she says, forget about the people. Forget about my water right now. Forget about how many husbands I had. Because what you're saying to me is giving me life. Today, we heard that the Messiah would come. And Jesus did something that he did not do with anybody else. He gave revelation. He gave revelation to somebody who was supposed to be separate. He didn't give that revelation to anybody in Israel. He gave this revelation. He didn't give it to Jerusalem. He gave it to Samaria, where he wasn't supposed to be. Based on religious law, I'm not supposed to go to Samaria. But I'm going to reveal to a Samaritan something that I did not reveal down in Jerusalem. I am he. Whoop! And he's saying that to somebody here. In order for you to know I am he and your past doesn't matter. This is the day where you need to see who God is. You need to know who God is, because I'm telling you, it's key to your future. And when he told her, I am he, she left free from everything. I'm trying to get through. God help me finish. She left free from everything. And free from yesterday and the guilt and the shame. Everything detached. Whenever he uses that I am, something happens. Detached. And freed her to go into a future. And one woman went and evangelized Samaria. And ran down to the men and said, you ain't nothing. You ain't no real men. If you really want to see a man, follow me and come see a man who told me everything. Everything. Everything I've done. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Sit down, let me finish. Really, I'm finished, I'm done. You cannot let tomorrow, yesterday, come into your now. And you've got to let God finish you up in your now. Can I sit here and talk? You've got to let God finish you up in your now. You've got to finish your plate first. You got to deal with everything today. Hallelujah. Today, it's not about what's next. It's about what's now. In order for me to move on, I found myself at one specific period in my life with great gift and great talent, but no mobility. With great potential, but no progress. Because I was, you know, I was taught how to worship God and praise God, but I come from a family that never dealt with stuff. Never dealt with stuff. You know, I come from the quintessential black home that taught you, you know, you don't tell your business. What happens here stays here. So, you know, the rape at 8 years old had to stay here, and I couldn't let anybody know. And the broken cycles and the molestation at 13, I couldn't let anybody know. And so I carried all of this stuff with me into my... And when I found myself at a point and pinnacle, I was paralyzed because my fear factor hadn't been handled. And my insecurity situations were still present. And I was still a broken man. A man was a broken boy. Because wherever you get broken, you somehow stay there. Somehow you stay there. I know a woman who's 93 years old. Who got raped from 10 to 12 until she birthed a child at 13 years old in 1933. And if you ever talk to her about it, she becomes that 13-year-old. Don't want to talk about it. Gets angry, screams and hollers at 93. I know her because she's my grandmother. She's my grandmother. And if I talk to her about how it happened, she goes into a tirade. And 80 years after, she's still in her yesterday. Speaks in tongues and has a great anointing. But is no good because yesterday is wrapped around her throat. My mother died in January. And my grandmother grieved. I wasn't a good mother, was I? I wasn't a good mother, was I? She didn't know I was her mother till she was 16. She thought I was her sister. We told her I was her sister. At 93, where all was known and all was forgiven, but she didn't get healed. She still remembered the former things. In this room of a couple of thousand people, it is not uncommon that we are trying to get to tomorrow to escape now. Because now has some unresolved issues from yesterday. What you've got to do is say, God, right here, right now, loose me from the former things. Loose me from my yesterday. Strengthen me now. Heal me now. Deliver me now. I'm going to say yes, Lord. The pornography from yesterday has messed me up now. I can't see myself going into my future. The abortion from yesterday has me feeling. feeling a sense of guilt now. When your blood was supposed to wash all that away. I gotta be free. For my now. So I can finish this cycle. And go into the prosperity of tomorrow. But I've got to be free. We talk so much about what God's going to do, what God's going to do. Let me tell you something. He's doing it now. No, no, no. Hear me. Brothers who have been in prison still holding on to yesterday and judging themselves by yesterday, even after you paid your debt to society, you're still living in your yesterday. Yeah, man, I went to prison. You're still rehearsing it. Still rehearsing. I mean, I can't get a job. I went to prison, man. I can't do this. I got a record. The only one keeping record is you. Caught some charges, man. I caught some charges. Sisters, the same thing. I caught some charges. But all charges have been dropped because of the cross. You're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. I'm not just doing little sound bites to get an applause. I'm dealing with some present situations in this room right now. Mashandalahoya. I'm dealing with some present stuff going on right now. People who have not forgiven themselves from yesterday. People who have not forgiven others for yesterday. So in your now, you're still carrying bitterness for what somebody said, did, who left you, who hurt you. Listen. As long as you live, somebody's going to hurt you. You'll never be able to get away from somebody hurting you. But what you got to get over is how you allow it to affect you and how you carry it. You got to learn how to take the hurt and the pain and cast all of your cares on Him because He cares for you. Take everything you're dealing with and say, I can't handle this. I wasn't made for this. This is yours. Now let me go on into my tomorrow. Free, healed, delivered. I'm done with this message. As I told you, I don't try to be the quintessential preacher. I don't know how to preach you into a frenzy at the conclusion of my sermon. I got to get to your heart. I got to get to your heart. Because there's so many of us here that have been promised so much and we haven't even seen it come to pass in our now. We haven't seen the manifestations. We haven't seen the things that were uttered come about. We haven't seen it. They're so ethereal. They're still in the distance. But I want you to know, right now, God wants to complete you, finish you, and have you finish this cycle. Don't try to escape. Deal with this stuff. Deal with it. And close it up. Deal with it and bring it to closure. Deal with this stuff now. Understand who you are. And that your past did not destroy you because it couldn't. Your past was only a proving ground. God gave you grace. God gave you grace. Don't pay attention to what happened yesterday. Don't even remember what took place yesterday. As far as wearing the pain and wearing the byproduct of yesterday, take it off. Be free. Be delivered. Be whole. Be empowered. Be anointed in your now. Be so absolutely anointed and empowered that you heal things in your now. That your family gets healed now. That your past is dismissed now. My now is, I can't even use the word I was going to use. I was going to say friggin', but I can't. My now is friggin' wonderful. Now, y'all hearing me? If you don't sow, Bob, if you would have caught me some 15 and 20 years ago where everything I did in fear. You talk to your bishop. Talk to your bishop. Everything I did in fear. I always disqualified myself where bishop would have to sit with me and tell me, Donnie, you can do this. I had to preach at Azusa one year, and Bishop Blake was the Bishop Jakes was there, and all these bishops were there, and I kept saying what I couldn't do, and he sat there. He said, you can do it. Just preach. And I keep turning around talking to him and saying, but Bishop, he says, just preach. Go ahead, just preach. Sitting called into a meeting with Condoleezza Rice, all of the major bishops of America, and me. No, hear me. Because my past told me, you're not of this caliber. My past disqualified me and said, you're not of this caliber, this genre, this echelon. You're not a part of this. You're too low. You're nothing compared to these men. And I sat next to Bishop Jakes. And she came around. I said, what am I going to say? He said, Donnie, they wouldn't have called you here. Y'all are not, oh God. And people had to preach me into my freedom for my now. And tonight I do the same with you as was done with me with Bishop Jakes and with Rod Parsley and Marvin Winans. How they preached me. If you ever read the book of Zechariah, and you read how Joshua the high priest in the third chapter of Zechariah has to stand before God. He said, and Joshua the high priest stood before God. And it said, and Satan stood at his right hand to oppose him. While he's standing before God, Satan stands at his right hand. Look at me. I'm talking to you. Satan stands as the accuser. What does he accuse you with? Your past. He said to disqualify you based on what you did. The accuser stands. Satan stands on the right hand. And the first thing the Bible said that God did, he didn't deal with Joshua. He dealt with Satan. He said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Hallelujah. And he pointed to Joshua and said, in spite of his faults and failures, is not this a brand that I plucked out of the fire? I'm talking about you in this room. I plucked him out of the fire. He handled Satan and dismissed him. Then he talked to the preachers that were around him. And Zechariah said, he screamed out, put the fair mitre upon his head. Make him a minister. And God commanded the men that were around him to preach to him. And the Bible said, and they took his dirty garments off. They removed his dirty garment. Now he's a priest, but he's got dirty garments. Because he doesn't even know who he is yet. And the preachers around him had to take off his dirty garments. The preachers around me had to take off my dirty garments. The preacher that's preaching to you right now had to take off your dirty garments. And let you know, although you wear it, this is not made for you. This is not made for you. You may wear it, but it's not made for you. You're not hearing me. What you're wearing is not yours. Take it off. Take it off. It wasn't made for you. It doesn't fit you. It restricts you. It hinders you. Take it off. Take off the past. I free you from your past. I free you from your mindset. I free you from your yesterday. I rebuke the power of the accuser in the name of Jesus Christ. In this room there is freedom. In this room there is liberty. In this room there is emancipation. Now! Somebody scream now. And so, beloved, every one of you that sit here trying to hide in spirituality while you're still hindered by your yesterday, trying to hold on to righteousness while you're still hindered from your yesterday, trying to praise in the present while you're still paralyzed from the past, God tells you that now He is about to do a new thing. Now He is about to do a new thing. Now He is about to do. Can I do this? And I'm going to go about my business. Every one of you that have been paralyzed. Now! Somebody scream now. And so, beloved, every one of you that sit here trying to hide in spirituality while you're still hindered by your yesterday, trying to hold on to righteousness while you're still hindered from your yesterday, trying to praise in the present while you're still paralyzed from the past, God tells you that now He is about to do a new thing. Now He is about to do a new thing. Now He is about to do. Can I do this? And I'm going to go about my business. Every one of you that have been paralyzed.
More music at ibomblog.com.